If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 9. And before I say that though, Bob, it's good to see you, brother. You had a rough week last week. So, looking out for you, Sarah, for looking at you. Yeah, she's good, isn't she? We'll keep her. Yeah. No, it's great to see you, Bob. Acts 1. I'll get there. The writer Luke says, "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.' After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight." Father, we want to pray that as we come to your word today, that you'll help us live in obedience. Actually, one of the great things in this passage, which I'm going to speak to, is you give us a call that you promised to help us with. You call us to be your witnesses. And we're not alone. We don't do that alone. You're going to help us. And I pray that as we hear from you, that actually we'll be empowered, equipped, enabled to bear witness to you, Jesus, in the world that we live in. Pray this in your name. Amen. In our church, we do have May as a focus for what we call Mission Month. And I'm really glad we commit to that, because it makes certain that we're focusing on global mission and how we play our part in God rescuing the world. This series, Witness, focuses on those words that we've just read in Acts 1:8. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And a witness, I wrote about this in the link article, if you read it, but I wrote that a witness is somebody who sees something and they tell the truth about it. They are prepared to answer questions and give evidence, be a witness to what they have seen and what they have known and what they've experienced. And Jesus calls us to be his witnesses, to tell the world that God loves about him, to share our life with Jesus, with others, and to tell them about what we've known and what we've seen and what we've experienced as followers of Jesus. And we'll do that, it says, to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And it seems like at first glance that that's a chronological order. We'll get this done in Jerusalem, and then we'll go to Judea, and then we'll go to Samaria, and then we'll go to the ends of the earth, right? And when it first starts, it's got to start that way. But actually, these ideas of reaching a Jerusalem or a Judea and a Samaria and the ends of the earth now happen at the same time. And we can take what Jesus said to his followers as a rough guide for how God is at work in the world today. We don't live in Jerusalem. I don't. You don't. We live in Adelaide. But that's similar to our Jerusalem, isn't it? It's where we are. It's with our friends and our family members, our acquaintances in our neighbourhood. Judea is people that are in that surround. And then Samaria. If you remember the Samaritans, they were like, I guess, like the Jehovah Witnesses are to the Christians. You know, we're fairly close, but we're not actually the same thing. And Jews and Samaritans were close, but they were not of the same faith, and they were definitely not of the same culture. And do we have places like that in our life? Places where people are close to us, but maybe not like us, that we should also be reaching? You know, that would include, I think, people who are marginalised, people who are Indigenous, people who are of other cultures. These are like our Samarias, places that are close to us, but people are not like us. And then the ends of the earth. Well, what is the ends of the earth turns for the first followers of Jesus actually is Australia. Isn't that amazing? I'm amazed at that, right? So that they're told 2,000 years ago, you're going to be my witnesses from here to there to the ends of the earth. And that they did not even know that the end of the earth was a place called Australia. Never heard of it. Never imagined it. And here we are. Because of Jesus' words to his followers, and as Ben told us, throughout history, people have just gone on and little by little found Australia and the ends of the earth. It's amazing. And so for us today, the ends of the earth might be Jerusalem, actually, but it's beyond our borders, the rest of the world that we maybe are not in, but are beyond our world. So these are areas of local. We can invest and bear witness locally, close to home, and I'm going to speak to that today. We can bear witness in our community and our nation, and I'll speak to that next week. And we can bear witness globally, beyond our borders, and I'll speak to that at the end of May. When I met with Ben and we were talking about this, and we thought, well, how are we going as a church at investing locally and in our community and globally? And I did a quick inventory, if you could just flick to the next slide. And this is just a bit of an idea of our church and maybe how this is helpful. So locally, we've got this amazing basketball ministry, an amazing play group. And they are booming, by the way. I was at basketball on Thursday night, and there was a serious crowd, especially of our juniors. And I was very excited to see that. My estimation was there were about 7 Colonel Light Gardens primary families there, at least 5 new, as far as I could tell. And that's exciting to me because that's where my children have gone to school, and that's lots of Colonel Light Gardens primary kids know me from the Easter and Christmas seminars that I do. So it's very exciting. That's local. Our playgroup, exciting too, growing and just really exciting kind of things going on. Green team, that would I'd put as local. I mean, Hindley Street's local, isn't it? Our unis, a number of our people go to uni. The Iranian church, well, they could be, you know, culturally far from us, but actually they're geographically here. I was here last night with the Iranian church, and now it ebbs and wanes on terms of who rocks up, but again, I told you a few weeks ago there were 40 people here. Last night there were 6 new people who don't know about Jesus, have come because they're new to Adelaide, they're Iranian, they knew about Iranians and have come. And in fact, I was speaking and I got to encourage people, as I'm going to do with you today, to share their faith with each other. And that was pretty cool to see that happen with the people who'd not gone to church before. So that's local, community. Oh, I've doubled up on uni, scrub that one. Aboriginal Berean Church is within range of us, but they're culturally different to us. And we, well, I'll put it this way, it's probably fair at this point to say I have a strong relationship with that church. Engage Work Faith help us reach out to people in the workplace. Baptist Care help us in terms of connect with people who are marginalised and vulnerable. Yeah, and then globally, we have the Ames family, as Owen, he's in Mongolia today, supporting, so this is Sarah's husband, Owen, and he's in Mongolia because he supports missionaries across Asia, Pacific, I think. I'm not quite sure what the regions are called. Baptist Ministry Mission Australia is our Baptist mission agency, and we're part of that. So you would be familiar with the Hutchinson family and the work that the team is doing in Cambodia. Just for your information, I've just joined the national board because I can see that they're in for some tricky times, and I like tricky times. And then Baptist World Aid, we had, Melissa come and speak with us recently, and they do lots of great work in the world. So when I looked at it, I counted up how many opportunities that we're investing in locally, 10, as a community and in our nation, 4, and it's globally, 9. Currently, our church invests in those kinds of things. That's not everything. I couldn't fit it on the little table. But I wonder about you. How are you bearing witness? And the amazing thing in being part of a church community is you're already doing that, all right? Because we're doing that. You don't come with me maybe to schools, but because of your support that enables that to happen. But we are, by being part of a church community, already doing this as a church together. But how are you bearing witness through church or maybe with some other partners? I wonder how you would go at filling out where are the areas locally in the community and in our nation and globally that I really value and want to invest in. And when you're investing, our encouragement is going to be that we want you to engage with it. Because often, and I'll use this as an example, I would say our church is investing in the Aboriginal Berean Church. You may not know this, but currently you provide $4,000 at least, actually, to that church in our budget, which you'll see in about the middle of the month. But you've been doing that for a couple of years. You also provide my time on the third Sunday of the month. And you also provide the fact that I speak to Don most weeks and we are working on building his church's strategy and building up his leadership capacity. Right. But I also know that I go there every third week, often, most often, by myself. Right? And that's cool. I'm going to go anyway. But for you, you hear what I'm saying, but there is a distance between that support and that engagement. And if you wanted to be engaged, you probably would come along with me. Yeah? That makes sense. I'm not saying you need to, because you've got things you're probably doing yourself. But if you wanted to engage in the Aboriginal support and ministry, then you'd probably get on board and go along. Nev Pace back here. Good to see you, Nev. Next Friday is heading off to Zambia. You remember he talked about MOVE and the ministry, mission that he's been building and involved with. He's engaged. He's going to jump on a plane, fly over to Zambia, get involved and do some things. That's engagement. You remember Ben talked about Miracle Connect and that ministry that's in the Middle East and the kind of broadcast around and amazing things that are going on there. Ben also runs like support dinner and he's involved in the information that comes, is probably trying to figure out the next time he can get over there. And I'm guessing, Ellie, he's dragged you in on this as well. They're engaged, right? Joe over here, who recruits like crazy for the Heine Street Green Team, and then I don't know how many Saturday nights that you're going out, but is a kind of key leader now and stays up between 10 through to 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, and then comes to church looking sprightly as you do when you're 21. How old are you now? He's engaged, yeah? And then he's dragged a whole bunch of other people who all wear the same top. And the sound guy's got one as well today. They're engaged. And that's what we would hope, is that not only are we supporting, but we're engaged. In our church, we've got lots of opportunities to be engaged, but there are many things that we can engage with. If I'm just to give you a broad sweep of what you could do here, if you wanted, is the Iranian church. I go there the first Saturday night of the month. That was last night. The Aboriginal Berean church, I go there on the third Sunday of the month, which is the 21st of May. We do need people who support and advocate for missions, and we have Owen and the Hutchinsons in particular that I think are key for us. But we don't want people just saying, oh yeah, that's a really good thing, we're glad we do it. In our church, we want people engaged as well. Jesus says, you'll be my witnesses. And for those very first followers, that happened really quickly. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes on this crowd, this crew that are praying in an upper room, and they spill out into the streets, praising God in different languages. And then people say, these folk look crazy, they're drunk. And then Peter stands up and explains what is going on. If you look at Peter's first sermon, you'll notice that the people in Jerusalem understood a lot about the backstory of Jesus. They knew that who Jesus was, they knew that he died a vicious death, and they knew that he did miracles, and they had rumors of a resurrection. And Peter's sermon speaks to that, and he explains, he bears witness to what Jesus has done. And people ask questions. Peter was ready with a response. And 3,000 people that day became Christians. It's quite a day. Something had happened to Peter. Did you notice that? Peter denied Jesus 3 times in front of a servant girl, and people really didn't matter, shouldn't have mattered to Peter. But now Peter, with the Spirit's presence and power, he's got courage. And he uses the words that Jesus had given him, and he bravely bears witness. Question I would have for you, as we consider how you bear witness in your life locally, is who is close enough to see your life with Jesus? And if they were seeking, would they know that they could come to you and ask you questions? We're doing Youth Alpha at the moment with our youth group. And I reckon we're going to have a great time. We've already had a great time. I'll tell you about one story from Friday night in a minute. But we had this little clip that I thought beautifully captures what I'm trying to say. Let's have a look at it.
Breakdown, and she was hospitalized for extended periods of time. My father also struggled with alcoholism. I had 2 brothers, and we were basically left in many ways to raise ourselves. Those experiences marked me, and going to bed at night, I remember through my tears saying, God, if you're there, I hate you. And I decided the childhood that I had was not going to be my life. At the age of 18, I committed to the idea of becoming a millionaire by the age of 30. So by the age of 35, the idea of being a millionaire had been achieved. I owned a company with over 500 employees. I had a beautiful home, beautiful wife, two kids. I could go where I want, when I wanted. I had way more money than I ever hoped for, but I wasn't happy. And I realized that there's still a deep darkness inside of me, a void. So now I'm forced into this really profound, deep journey. Like, what's life all about? I have epilepsy, and for some reason, I started having seizures more frequently. We have a lady who worked for us at that time in our home. Her name is Bonnie, and she was a very sweet lady, a Christian lady. Bonnie saw me after having a seizure one day, and she called my wife, and she said that God had told her to come pray for me. And I said, well, I know it's not going to do any good, but I like Bonnie. So she prayed for us. And for some reason, I cried through that process. Didn't know why I was crying, but Bonnie left and we thanked her for coming over. So the next day, I saw a friend, a neighbor, who went to the same church Bonnie does. And I asked my friend, I said, hey, are you going to church tomorrow? And he says, yeah. I said, well, do you mind if I come with you? He says, sure. He was quite happy to bring me. So the next morning, we're standing in church together. And as the worship music begins, for some reason, I begin crying. And I'm doing everything in my power not to cry, but tears are running down my face. And in that moment, for the first time, God's love for me was so real. The reality that He loved me was nothing short of completely and totally mind-blowing. I worked hard and pursued wealth my whole adult life, trying to fill a profound emptiness inside of me, a darkness that I walked with every day. Only to discover that emptiness could only ever be filled by a relationship with the living God.
A beautiful, quick window into God using people. And my simple question is, who are you Bonnie to? Who are you the Bonnie to? She was somebody who was in a household cleaning the place, and she saw an opportunity to bear witness to what God could do in this man's life. And she did it. Rang, offered to pray, and she started a journey for that man that led him to the peace that he was seeking. Last night, I was sitting with a lady. We're eating afterwards, and she's a carer, and she cares for people who have motor neurons disease, which I've got to say would be one of the most difficult places to care for people. And she was telling me that she has constant opportunity to pray and to bring hope and peace into people's lives who have no hope in terms of what's going to happen to them. She's like Bonnie. We have, when I was growing up, my mum got to be friends with our neighbour. Her name was Pauline. And Pauline thought she was a Christian, but as mum talked to her about Jesus, she realised she wasn't, and she became a Christian. And mum and Pauline became best friends, and Pauline became a very key leader in their church. And last year, I buried Pauline, knowing that she was safe with God. Mum was a Bonnie. Who are you a Bonnie to? Who's close enough to see your life with Jesus? And if they were seeking, would they know they could come to you? When I was in high school, I was not very courageous about my Christian faith. I was worried about what people would think of me. At least my recollection is I tried to keep it as quiet as possible. I've had friends since say that I wasn't very good at keeping that quiet. But my recollection was I was very shy about Christian faith. I certainly didn't want to invite anyone to my church. And I was really nervous about talking to people about Jesus. Going to university, I thought, I don't want to live like that anymore. I'm still nervous, But I want to be brave. I want to be brave. And the thing that I realized is actually what was stopping me is not that God wouldn't give me what I needed. It was just me. That what was stopping me from telling people about Jesus was entirely my choice. Jesus has said, you will be my witnesses. The Spirit comes on a person who's a scaredy cat called Peter and turns him from a man who's afraid to a man who's brave enough to speak to thousands. I've got the same Spirit, but I'm the one who's choosing not to actually step out in faith. So at university, I started that journey of trying to step out in faith and be brave and to share with people about Jesus. Uni's a bit of a tough place to do that, certainly when you're an engineer. There are a lot of atheists percentage-wise in engineering. But I learned a few things. I then went to university. My job at after I finished engineering, my job at university was being an evangelist. I've been doing this on purpose now for 27 years. For 27 years, choosing to be brave, to bear witness to Jesus, and if people are seeking, helping them find him. And the amazing thing is God has used that. I'm amazed. I would still struggle to say, oh, Jason is an evangelist. I have an evangelist heart. But God has used that. And over 27 years, I've seen numbers of people come to be followers of Jesus. If people wanted to know about Jesus, would you be ready and would you be brave? Would you be ready and would you be brave? You know, I think one of the reasons why you and I might struggle with being brave is we don't know what to say. And you won't necessarily know what to say, but you can help yourself get ready for knowing what to say. Just have a look at this triangle. I've showed our church this before. When you're sharing your faith with people, you can learn to tell the story. What God has done for us in Jesus. You can learn to share your story. And you can learn to listen. Listen to people. That's all learnable. And it would take you, this is the crazy thing, it would take you less than 15 minutes to sit down and make some notes. If somebody asked me, why I'm a Christian, what would I say? If somebody asked me what's so special about Jesus, what would I say? It doesn't take long to do a little bit of work so that the next time that God puts an opportunity in front of you, you're ready. You're never ready. You were never ready. Sarah and I were talking about this week. Sarah's got this really beautiful relationship with somebody in playgroup. And they're a seeker, that's clear. One of the things that came out as we were talking together is Sarah was like, oh, there's an opportunity to share faith, and she wasn't quite ready for it. But that's the way it works, isn't it? Is people ask you the strangest questions at the oddest times and you're not ready for it. Friday night, I have the privilege of looking after some year 8 boys in my little small group. I haven't always enjoyed that. But on Friday night, one of them, after we watched the Youth Alpha thing and had done everything he could to disrupt our group, and everyone's walked away, he asked me this question. Jason, how do I say sorry to God? I don't think I'm doing it right. I think if we'd looked at him, I think this kid's not that interested. But that is the way it works with high school students, isn't it? Like they ask you the biggest questions at the weirdest times. And he says, so we had this really important conversation about how you ask God for forgiveness and how you trust Jesus, that he deals with the things that you've done wrong. Opportunities come when you're least expecting it. But you can get ready for it by sitting down, having a little think. If somebody asks me the question, why are you a Christian? What's so special about Jesus? What would I say? You can get ready for that. Because when it comes, it would be great that you could bear witness so that they'll find what they're seeking for. I hope that you pray for people like Sarah and for people like Jason, who certainly probably have a gift in this area. One of the things that I think we can do more of is release people who have just the knack of talking about Jesus to people who are far from God. Sarah is definitely one of those. I know that there are numbers in our church that are the same. And you could pray for people like that. But you can engage. Don't do that from a distance. You can prepare yourself because God just may bring that opportunity your way too. You could take time today to write out your answers to these simple questions that I've mentioned on the way through. That guy, Peter, the scaredy cat guy, becomes a great Christian leader. And in the letter that we have in the Bible written by him, he says this: in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, and do this with gentleness and respect. Let's pray. God, I know that partly because of the times we're in, but also I think mostly because of the way that your Spirit is moving, people are seeking you. And you want us, Jesus, to be your witnesses, to help them find you. God, I pray for us as a church that we'll be cultivating opportunity for anyone who seeks to find. Thank you for this young man on Friday night and how you're working in his life. And help us be faithful with people like him that we come into contact with. I pray as well for all of us in our personal life, in our workplaces, in our family life, among our friends, that you might use us, that we might be like a Bonnie in their life. Because it is true, when we find you, Jesus, we find there is abundance in life, peace, hope, joy. We find that you place us in a family and you give us a grace and a love for others. And we want that for the people you love, and the people that are close to us. And we pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.